This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to Thee, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills that we may be wholly Thine, utterly dedicated unto Thee. And then use us, we pray Thee, as Thou wilt, and always to Thy glory and the welfare of Thy people. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Many years ago, before Father Marty was our rector, Father Mike was the rector here. Many of you know him. And we, as a congregation, were trying to decide what kind of a cross we would hang here. It was before we had this cross, and we voted on many different types of crosses. I did not want this one. I voted against it, and I was really disappointed when I got outvoted. And the rest is history. I didn't change my mind until about 2 years ago. We were doing a preview of a film in here for human trafficking awareness. We had a presentation. We ended up using the parish hall for it. But we wanted to preview the film in here and see how it would be. And so several of us sat here, and we were previewing a pretty hard film to watch about human trafficking. And I was sitting in the middle somewhere, and the movie was playing on the screens, and in the difficult parts of the movie, all I could do was look at the cross. And I felt my faith deepening, and I felt my faith growing. Because we know the end of the story, but in that moment, I needed to be reassured that Christ was with us in our hardest times. Solidarity with us, no matter what. We have had a whirlwind 10 days of Lent. It's only been 10 days. On Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day, it felt more like Good Friday. Like Good Friday had come early, right? We are still reeling from it. I was talking to Marcos Bornot after the 7:45 service, and I had his permission to ask all of you to continue to pray for him. He's a funeral director in Margate and has had 8 of the 17 funerals at his funeral home. Many of them he had to witness and visit in homes because there was too much media outside the funeral homes that the families really felt, you know, better if he came to them. So please keep Marcos in your prayers. Tomorrow's his day off, and do you know what he wants to do? He's going to come here and garden. The earth gives us that sign of resurrection and newness in life. No matter what. I had the opportunity to attend the funeral of Carmen Shentrup last Tuesday. She was one of the 17. She was the president of the youth group at St. Mary Magdalene Episcopal Church. And there was a big funeral, and it was held at the Roman Catholic Church in Coral Springs. They had called, the Monsignor offered it because it was big enough. There were about 1,000 of us there at this funeral. And it was a beautiful witness. And do you know what the family chose for the readings? They are traditional readings that we read, not only at funerals, but at weddings. They chose the Corinthians love chapter. And the gospel? They chose the Beatitudes. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers, and on and on. And the young man who was a friend of Carmen's, who read the love chapter of Corinthians, read it better than any reader I've ever heard in my life. He read it slowly and with feeling, and you could have heard a pin drop. Love is patient. Love is kind. And he went on and on. It was powerful. It was absolutely powerful. We are asked, especially in times like this, to see God's footprints in the mud, to know that Christ walks with us through all of this, and that we are called upon to have faith. Faith when we have no answers. Faith when we think we have the answers. And the other side thinks they have the answers. And back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And right now, we're to be taking a breath and looking to God, looking to Christ to say, okay, God, give me your answers. Because we're kind of fumbling about it right now. And hurting one another about it right now. In Brian McLaren's small group series that we are doing for Lent, we are being asked in the introductory lessons that we heard this past week, and by the way, almost 100 of us are doing this small group series in 7 small groups, we're being asked to look at who we are as Christians, and if we can get back to the original meaning of who we are as followers of Christ before all the religious trappings kind of muddied it up in some ways, not in all ways. We need our churches. But we're being asked to get back to the roots of what it means to be a Christian. And we heard about it in the Abraham reading. He was being asked to have faith at the age of 99, thinking about having a new baby. Can you imagine? I can't imagine it at 63. It's like, listen to what McLaren says about Abraham. Abraham was thick on faith, but thin on beliefs. He had no scripture, no temple, no laws, no doctrines, no clergy, no atonement theories, no concept of heaven, no concept of hell, no vestments, no sacraments, no creed, no baptism, and no name for a religion. End quote. He was pulled by something greater than himself. He was led. And he ventured out in faith without even knowing where he was going. Total surrender. I would imagine some of us have felt that way this past week, past 10 days, feels like a year. Venturing out in faith. We heard as much from Paul in his letter to the Romans. And then Jesus asking his disciples to really face up to the hard truth of what was going to happen. And they didn't want to hear it. And they never waited, Peter never waited to hear the end of the story. Not just that he would die, but that he would rise again on the third day. He didn't even hear it. We could go to bookstores and find plenty of pablum, plenty of sugary, candy, sweet Christianity. And we also, though, have to look for how we manage in our suffering. How do we do that? And we're being called, again, to look to the Christ in faith. In faith. Beyond our understanding. And it's especially when we don't know what to do in our lives. One of our parishioners, Audrey McPhee, is in the administration at our school here, and I asked her if I could use her in the sermon. Many of you have been reading along in our Daughters of the King prayer, Lenten prayer booklet, and she wrote on Friday, if you didn't get a chance to read it, we have more in the back you can take home, but she wrote a very beautiful story of what it means to give up your life. You know, we may not think that we are giving up our lives too much these days, but internally, we can give up our life too, our pride, our ego. Her story is like that. Her mother had trouble with alcoholism, and she had a very strained relationship until she began to pray to even want to forgive her. And by the way, that's the beginning of forgiveness. It's a process, not just an overnight fix it. She started to pray just to want to be able to forgive her mother. And little by little, she began to develop that forgiveness. They ended up speaking. They ended up reconciling. Her mother told her her story. And they ended up coming together in unity before she died, some 16 years ago now. And when she wrote on Friday, that would have been her mother's 88th birthday, and she wrote it in honor of that. You talk about surrendering completely. Audrey McPhee is a living example. So is Marcos, by the way, who I mentioned earlier. There's a revolution at foot. And we spent this past weekend, Friday night and yesterday, at a youth ministry conference right here. We hosted it. And Friday night, we did some deep listening with the youth minister from Mary Magdalene, and also the best friend of Carmen, Hannah spoke. And then on Saturday, we learned of how can we support our young people to have faith? How can we support you to have faith? And you, and me, and to continue to develop that faith relationship. And we had a wonderful session with Kenda Dean, who's written many books. And this revolution that has begun, she reminded us that it's adults who usually start war, and then we send young adults to fight them. It's the adults, usually, that start those wars. And revolutions are usually begun by young adults and change the world. Martin Luther King was only 24 years old. She gave us a long list of people who were late teens or early 20s that started revolutions, including the American Revolution. There was a long list, a long list. And this revolution is happening, and it's not about taking sides. We saw a video that I just had to show you this morning that I think speaks to what we're going through right now in our country and in our world and in walking beside our young people. Let's show this clip.
And now to honor America and salute the men and women serving our country with our national anthem, please welcome, as voted by you, the fans, our winner of the Toyota Get the Feeling of a Star promotion, Natalie Gilbert.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the stars like stars? Stars like glass gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, and
sing. That was Mo Cheeks. I never had heard of him before, but apparently he's a famous basketball player. He couldn't sing, but he knew that he had to stand beside her so that she could sing What a metaphor is that for what we're experiencing right now? We got to listen to our children and listen to our young adults. We can't always sing better than they can. Am I right, guys? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I got a text yesterday afternoon that I'd also like to share with you. It was written to me by my son's girlfriend, Alyssa, and she's a beautiful writer. She's also a high school teacher in Jacksonville, Florida, and she's been having a hard time going to school. And this is what she wrote. She and my son knew Carmen, the young woman who had died, from Canuga, and some of you may have met Carmen or her brother, who also are regulars at Canuga. So she wrote me this. Hey, you. Just wanted you to know I've had you close in heart throughout these past weeks. It's been difficult to find the strength to answer tough questions from students, and honestly, it's been tough to even exist in the teaching community. I know you've been in the heart of it down there, and I know you must be offering some connection to peace for those suffering. I am still so much at a loss. The only light seems to be the students who are speaking up for what seems like an era of injustice. Andrew and I have talked about growing up with Columbine and Sandy Hook and all those in between, and how in some ways we realize we may have become desensitized to it, and how we feel the spirit so much in the words of Douglas students, but also in the pulling together of our Florida communities. We went to a vigil to honor the victims last Monday. It was held at a conservative Baptist church in one of the tougher parts of Jacksonville, and yet we were there in unison. The pastor spoke against division and belonging to sides and called everyone to action towards unity and peace and, at the very least, safety in our schools. Anyway, I felt cleansed for a moment, as if, as a human race, we are being called back to love. I believe we, in this form of human existence, can do better. I know you do too. I love you, Wendy. Please give my love to the St. Joe's and extended church family. She's 23. If that's not the gospel, I don't know what is. And this is what Brian McLaren is talking about in our small group series. What are we? Who are we as followers of Christ? How are we really loving? So for now, we're being asked to have faith and to listen to one another and to follow, as Christians, Christ and that love, and to lose our life, our own pride and ego frequently, in order to gain our life. In closing, I'm asking if we would do a prayer together. And this prayer comes from an Aunt Gina, who is the photographer at St. Andrew's School. She is the aunt of Kara, who was also one of the 17. She happened to be the photographer for our convention that we had there, our diocesan convention last November. And so those of us who worked on the convention were asked to pray for Gina, just for comfort for their family. And then she wrote back to us a few days ago, and she said, would you please pray this prayer? This is Kara's prayer, and I'm asking you to please pray this with me too. I don't think she'd mind me asking all of us. Please open your prayer books. That's the red book in the pews. On page 833, this is Kara's prayer and our prayer. 833, a prayer attributed to St. Francis. Together, Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.